is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside of the VSiN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network. For the viewing audience over on Samsung TV Plus, we appreciate you joining us here on this Saturday morning in the fall. Fall officially here. College football is in the air. Michael, how are we doing today?
We are great, Femi. We could not be better. I mean, fall is in the air. The weather's a little bit changing. You know, we got football weather, and we got football all day, all weekend. Two games on Monday night. I mean, get that Twitter, Femi, ready to go, my man. You got a lot of things to do. You got a lot of things to do. So I'm excited for it. I mean, the world is now gets to experience what a beautiful campus Colorado has in Boulder. And, you know, I have often wondered why this program hasn't excelled to the levels because of the beauty that surrounds it. And Dion has made sure it has. So congratulations to the Buffaloes as all eyes point to Boulder.
Yeah, we will get to Boulder here in just a bit, but want to set the table for the show that we have coming up over these next 2 hours, jam-packed with amazing guests, four fantastic guests. Some might even call them a fantastic four. Coming up in 15 minutes, Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime and the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, will join us with his plays. Tim has five bets, five dogs, rather four dogs and one money line favorite that he has on the card here coming up today. We'll get Tim's thoughts on the slate here in 15 minutes. Stormy Bonantoni, who you see here Sunday through Thursday on the Lombardi Line, also a sideline reporter for ESPN. She's doing the Minnesota and North Carolina game in Chapel Hill. So we got boots on the ground in North Carolina. We'll speak to Stormy coming up in 30 minutes. Then at 11:15 Eastern, 8:15 Pacific, Chris Sims, NBC sports analyst, former quarterback in the National Football League. Of course, he will join us. We'll talk this weekend's NFL slate. And then at 11:30 Eastern, 8:30 Pacific, Matt Eumanns, VSiN host of VSiN Tonight and the College Football Betting Podcast. He'll join us to give us his NFL slate and his college football slate to wrap up the show. But let's start with Boulder, Colorado, because Elliot and our producer Elliot, we were talking and we were watching game day before the show started. And it's like, man, that is a beautiful campus. I wish I was able to visit that campus. It looks absolutely amazing on television. I'm sure it's even better in person. But how about this game? Colorado State at Colorado, the Rocky Mountain Showdown. Kind of your early thoughts on this one that has a little bit extra element to it now after the two coaches earlier this week.
You know, I used to say this all the time, the new coaches that came into the Raiders, when we would have training camp up in Napa Valley at the Marriott right there in Napa, Al Davis would be on the practice field early in the morning at 8:30 dressed in white. And he would be on the right in the middle of the two fields. And I would tell the coaches, like, why would you walk by him? Like, why would you go pet a tiger? Like, what is that going to do for you? You're only going to get yelled at. You're going to get ripped. Avoid him. What is Jay Norvell trying to prove with what he's saying? Like, he's only going to stir the tiger. Why would you pet a tiger? If that was a tiger in the middle of the field, would you go over and pet him? Of course you would. So avoid it. Why would you do this, Jay Norvell? I mean, and you know what's funny? Jay Norvell was one of those coaches that was on the Raider coaching staff that walked through the middle of the field and would say, oh, good morning, Mr. Davis. How are you? Okay. And then here it goes. How the hell do you think I am with about 17 curse words built in there? I mean, so it's really stupid. And look, you're fighting a deficit here. You're a 24-point dog going in the game. You got to do everything you can to downplay it, right? Mm-hmm. I know you're the second team in the state, but you're also not going to compete at a level. And now all of a sudden, you've given them motivation. You've given them the ability to stop thinking about Oregon and start thinking about you.
Yeah, and this was a spot that a lot of people had kind of circled as a potential letdown spot for Colorado because it was sandwiched between two premier games on either end. You had TCU the opener, then you had Nebraska the rivalry game, and then you have Oregon next week, and then USC the week after that. So this was like the perfect, all right, if Colorado were to let down, until Jay Norvell had this to say earlier this week about Deion Sanders.
And I sat down with ESPN today, and I don't care if they hear it in Boulder. I told them I took my hat off and I took my glasses off, and I said, when I talk to grown-ups, I take my hat and my glasses off. That's what my mother talked.
Why would you want to talk about us when we don't talk about nobody? All we do is go out here, work our butts off, and do our job on Saturday. But when they give us ammunition, they unmasked made it what? It was just going to be a good game.
They made this
Personal. Damn, messed around and made it.
Personal.
Now it's going to be a great test, a battle of Colorado, but damn, messed around and made it.
Personal.
You almost expect to hear an amen in the background when Dion's talking. I mean, he is one of the great ministers of all time.
Yes.
I mean, can I get an amen for that? You know, I mean, it's so good.
One of the great orators in sports history, Deion Sanders. But
you got to be.
You got to be.
That's how you get your message across. That's what makes him so good, you know? And he's right. Like, why would they talk about it? Look, Deion's is, I think that really gets caught up in this is Deion is different. But at the core of who Deion is, whether he takes his hat off or his glasses, Deion is a football coach. Mm-hmm. He's a leader. He hired an incredible staff. I mean, I've talked about Sean Lewis, who was the head coach at Kent State. He's, I think, one of the bright offensive minds in all of football. How Deion knew about him, I applaud him. Charles Kelly, former co-defensive coordinator at Alabama, how he knew about him, I applaud him. And then he's let those guys coach, and he's motivated the team. See, I think sometimes what Jay said is really what people think about Deion in terms they get caught up in the glasses, the hat. Mm-hmm. And I think he's way deeper than that when you get past it.
Yeah. You know what? Deion almost to me feels like he's like the guy in the fight that's like, hey, look over here. And then like he just hits you with a jab before you even know it's coming. hey, look at all this distraction. Like, look at all this marketing and all that stuff. And like the marketing stuff and the recruiting stuff, like that's for the high school kids. That's for the recruits. That's who he's talking to with that stuff. But internally, like you mentioned, he is dialed in. This is buttoned up. This is not just like some flash in the pan sort of deal here. And we've talked about it over the few weeks. We don't have to belabor it even more here. But yeah, like the fact that Colorado State and these other teams have looked to kind of provoke the Colorado Buffaloes and Deion Sanders, I think it's a fool's errand. We'll see what happens. The betting line right now, Michael, is Colorado is a 23.5-point favorite. Of course, it's a big adjustment from the look ahead earlier this season. But everything's a big adjustment because everyone had the rating wrong for the Colorado Buffaloes heading in.
I mean, some people thought Colorado had the least talented roster in the country. Come on now.
Yeah.
I mean, and they opened up at 19. I mean, so Jay Norvell's his petting the tiger put four and a half points into this thing. And I'm not sure that they're going to keep it within 24 because now it's personal. The only thing that it could save them is the fact if Deion wants to take some of the guys off and take the gas off. Mm-hmm. I know this. Deion wants to keep putting the pressure on. Like, he doesn't take it down. You know, last week when they had control of the game, they kept going. They were not going to go in a 4-minute offense. They were putting the gas on the pedal. So a foot on the pedal. But I mean, I don't understand it as a coach. Look, you can have those thoughts. And I appreciate what Jay's mom taught him because I think that's great. But everybody's their own person. Right. Mm-hmm. If Deion would start looking like, you know, a buttoned up guy, that he wouldn't be authentic.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't be authentic as a leader. That's who Deion has been. He's authentic. Leave him alone. Don't pet the tiger, Femi. I would have told you would have been one of those guys who walked right up. Oh, good morning, Mr. Davis. How are you today? Boom.
I think I'd have done it once. And then after that one interaction, I'd have been like, all right, I don't see you. I would
walk around the field and I would get, you know, somebody, some trainer would come up to me and say, he wants to see you. And I'm like, oh, God. Like, you know, I would do everything. If I could have stayed outside the gate, I would have.
You got to dress up in camouflage going to practice.
Yeah.
Just to watch what's going on. But I do want to ask you this about Colorado, because I've kind of had this discussion with the guys behind the glass, is that do you think that they can keep up this level of emotion? Because the opener against TCU was obviously emotional. They were 21-point dogs. Then last week was emotional, being a rivalry renewed between them and Nebraska. Every week being personal, like, can they continue to go back to the emotional well and find juice left in the tank?
I think they coach hard. I think that's what's missing. I think what people don't realize about Deion, one of his favorite sayings to the coaches on the staff is there's more meat on that bone. Like, I think people misconstrue Deion. Deion is going to be driving. There's no contentment in Deion. He's going to keep pushing him. He's going to keep pushing him because he's got a lot at stake here. You know, everybody in that building is talking about they can't wait to bury us. And if they go to Oregon and get beat, or if they get beat today by Colorado State, you know what's going to happen. All mm-hmm. those people that have come to watch them are going to see, I told you so. See, I told you so. When you're fighting the see, I told you so as the coaches, that keeps your eye on the target.
Yeah, and it's a natural motivator. Like
Deion, that's a daily coach right there.
Yeah,
that was just a daily coach. There you go.
There you go.
I told you so.
DailyCoach.com. We check it. Check out the articles that you guys posted. It's daily for the Daily Coach. That's why it's called the Daily Coach. But imagine that. I think that it's an interesting sort of scenario and an interesting setup here that Colorado each and every week, they don't have to look very far to go ahead and find that internal motivation and that external motivation, because sometimes along the week, somebody says something about them and then they go ahead and use that as the motivation needed. Now, we'll see what happens today. We'll see if they're able to outperform market expectations, 23.5 being a big number, the total sitting at 62.5. There's been a little bit of buy-in on Colorado State at 24. I know DraftKings has it at 24 right now, but it's painted 23.5 across the board. I'm curious to see where this thing closes. But you know that public bettors are back in Deion. Like, they've been rewarded by it for the first 2 weeks, so might as well keep going back to the well until they don't cover.
Yeah, and look, I mean, the one thing about it, when you got to make up a 24-point spread, you got to rely on your offensive weapons, and they have them. I mean, they have them. And Colorado State, which, you know, we thought was going to be a better team than they ended up being, I don't know if they can defend this offense. And this offense forces you to defend every blade of grass. I mean, it's really hard to defend. And Kelly does a really good job defensively. So, and they've got really good players. I mean, now they're at the point where they got players from all over the country trying to come to Colorado. Yeah. I mean, you know, they have a top quarterback who's committed somewhere else, who's trying to get involved here. So it's really kind of interesting how the PR has created a great recruiting sound base.
100%. If people are sick of this Colorado thing, this is just the appetizer. This is just the appetizer, baby. Like, this is a 5-course meal that if Deion stays there, they're going to have it humming over there in Boulder. We'll ask Tim Murray about this game and other games that he has bet on this Week 3 college football slate. This is the Lombardi Line hanging out on the DraftKings Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nobody knows football like VSiN, and now's the time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get all the tools to prep for college and pro games every week. Our picks page recapping all the best bets from guests and hosts throughout the day in one convenient place. This season, we have a top VSiN experts leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. And our betting splits lets you know where the money and bets are moving every game. The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings betting data every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the sports betting network. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line hanging out on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi here on this Saturday, football Saturday here in the fall. Stormy Bonantoni, VSiN host and also ESPN College sideline reporter, will be joining us from Chapel Hill next segment. But joining us right now to kick off our run of guests here, it's the one and only Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime, which you can check out 6 to 9 Eastern, 3 to 6 West Coast time. Also the host of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Make sure you get it wherever you get your podcast. Tim, good morning. Thanks for waking up with us. And this feels like a routine, but we'll start off with the Colorado Buffaloes. The Buffs are going ahead and laying 23.5 against Colorado State. The total is around 62.5. Big number here. Are you willing to take the Rams in this spot, or is this a stay away for you?
Should have put my sunglasses on for this. We could have got going that way.
And don't forget the hat.
Yeah. I mean, what a week. You know, it's funny because Sean and I talked about this a lot. Sean King, former Tulane quarterback on VSiN Primetime a lot this week, because it felt like, guys, this was the perfect spot to take Colorado State. You know, this was a potential letdown, look ahead, sandwich, however you want to define it for Colorado here. You've come off two big noon kickoff games. You have Oregon and USC waiting in the wings. And here comes Colorado State. While it is a rival, let's be honest, majority of the players on that roster are new to Colorado. They probably don't know much about the Colorado State-Colorado rivalry. And then Jay Norvell decides to go on talking about, taking sunglasses and hats off. So, ultimately, this is going to be a stay away for me. I do think Colorado State, this is a team that we talked about over the summer. This is a team I actually really liked with a D there. So we'll see how the year goes on. I can't get a refund yet on my over 4.5 wins ticket. But You know, it feels like right now Colorado is going to certainly have the motivation to come out. The thing I'll say here is why I've heard this a lot about, you know, at 24, maybe it is a buy point on Colorado State. Well, it feels like this is going to be a spot where Colorado's now going to want to kind of play the disrespect card yet again, like they have the first two games. You do still have a team with limited depth taking on Oregon and USC in the next 2 weeks. So you do wonder if Coach Prime, if they're up big, does kind of try to rest his players a little bit. But no, Femi, you said it. Because of everything that unfolded this week, I'm going to stay off this one. I'm a little mad at Jay Norvell because I was looking to bet Colorado State, but with everything that unfolded this week, I'm going to go ahead and pass on this one.
You know, Tim, Colorado State hasn't played since September the 2nd. They're 2 weeks off, and they gave up 50 to Washington State. Now, I know Washington State's a good team. A lot of people were taking Colorado State in that game. I don't think people expected Washington State to be as good with Cam Ward at quarterback. And, you know, when you break this team down and what Washington State was able to do against them, you know, right now their defense, their relative scoring defense is 123rd in the nation. That's going to require a lot of progress in those 2 weeks to stop this offensive attack of Colorado, which is ninth in relative scoring offense. So I could see this line going up. I could see why people think it's a sandwich game, but I think Deion's going to keep putting the foot, keep trying to press the issue a little bit.
Well, especially after, you know, everything that happened this week, right, Michael? I mean, anywhere you looked, it was talking about sunglasses and hats and, you know, all the, I mean, heck, I don't watch WWE, but apparently they were doing it on WWE last night. I mean, it was everywhere where they were talking about it. But no, to your point, and you brought it up a couple weeks ago, because I was one of those bettors on Colorado State week one with the Rams against Washington State. And Cam Ward and company put up 50, as you alluded to. Also, you got to note that Colorado State's going to be starting a new quarterback. Clay Millen is out with an injury. So they're going to be starting a redshirt freshman here tonight for the Rams. You know, is he ready for the moment? I mean, a couple years ago, this is not a juiced up atmosphere. Now, College Game Day, big noon kickoff. They're on the campus of Boulder right now. So, you know, it's a sellout, all of that. So, yeah, once again, to your point, I think this does have the potential of getting ugly, especially after everything that was put out there in the media for the past 48 hours.
We're speaking with Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime, also the host of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Tim, let's transition over to another rivalry, this one down south between Tennessee and Florida, down in the swamp. I know you like the Gators. You got +7, but the line right now is all the way down to 5.5. Do you still think there's a little bit of value there left in backing the Florida Gators here? I'm seeing 5.5 over at DraftKings, 6 at the South Point. Or how would people play on to Florida right now that the best of the number is no longer there?
Yeah, obviously, you know, 7 was ideal. However, I do think, Femi, that it's still worth a look. You know, this is a game that, you know, all of us not that long ago, you know, this was appointment watching on a Saturday afternoon in the fall. I mean, this was one of the best rivalries we had going in college football. Obviously, it's taking a little bit of a step back. Florida coming off a 6-6 year. They're 1-1 right now. And, you know, desperation is always an interesting thing when you look at when it comes to the betting side. And I think Florida is a team that is pretty desperate in this spot, especially Billy Napier. Billy Napier feeling the heat a little bit as the head coach of the Florida Gators and a below 500 record if you include last year's bowl loss. Right now, he's just 7-8 as the head coach of this Florida team. But you know, got to remember, Tennessee, boy, they lost a whole lot. You lost Wright, the tackle, who was a top 10 pick. You lost Hendon Hooker. You lost Jalen. You lost Hyatt. You lost Cedric Tillman. I mean, there's a lot of pieces from last year's team that are no longer on Tennessee. And for Florida guys, I just think this is the spot where they have to have this game. I mean, the heat is certainly on them. They know this isn't going to be an easy season. And while backing Graham Mertz doesn't feel like the most ideal, you know, spot, I look at the other side and I still have a lot of questions about Joe Milton, the quarterback of Tennessee. You know, obviously we know the talent and the arm strength, but You know, what about the accuracy? That's certainly something that you can call into question here. So I like the Gators. Yeah, if you know, the sevens obviously are no longer there, but I think tonight down in Gainesville in the swamp, I think Florida is going to be a live dog. So you know, you could still look around. I think there's a couple sixes still available, but we're going to roll with the Gators, and hopefully they can pull this outright upset.
But Tim, Kansas State just crushed Troy 42-13. They opened up the season with Southeast Missouri State, beat them 45-0. They've scored 40 points in their both games. Today they've got Missouri, which is playing much better defensively. Eli Dinkowicz gave away the play calling. They haven't been as good offensively in terms of their ability to really move the ball with a consistent basis. Do you feel like, I know that you feel like maybe it's worth taking the 3.5. It's a home game against Kansas State. Are we sure Kansas State is as good considering who they played?
Yeah, as I'll steal a line from Billy Napier when he was at UL Lafayette, Michael. Scared money don't make money, because this one is a little bit of a hold on to your you-know-what special here. So we're going to take the home dog here. It doesn't feel great. You know, you look at some betting splits at different spots across the country, and everybody's on Kansas State, understandably so, because you look at their first two games, as you alluded to, and they have taken care of business really easily. Will Howard, you know, I've been impressed. Kansas State's quarterback, Colin Klein, feels comfortable now in that role of offensive coordinator out there at K-State. But, you know, this is a spot where Missouri, as soon as that game ended last week, where Missouri just kind of held on and beat Middle Tennessee by 4, Brady Cook, their quarterback, immediately was talking about this game and how much it meant to them. And, you know, they were embarrassed last year. They lost 40-12 last year to this Kansas State team. So I think this is a, you know, we'll see if it's a little bit of a sleepy spot. We've seen the market move in their favor, Missouri, that is. And I think the Tigers, you know, as a home dog, short home dog, I think they're going to be live today. So we're going to take the points with Mizzou here on a Saturday afternoon.
Yo, that's music to our producer, Elliot Bowman's here, being a Mizzou grad, taking the points here with his Tigers. I don't think he has much faith in the Tigers, but sounds like you have a lot.
He nailed it in. He's not even probably going to watch.
Yeah, he's gearing up for Purdue basketball already. He is Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime. Make sure you check it out. 6-9 Eastern Time, 3-6 Pacific. Also host of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Make sure you check that out wherever you get your podcast. Tim, good luck with the bets, man. Thanks for joining us this morning.
All right, fellas. Have a great day.
Awesome stuff there from Tim Murray. Tim also likes
respect for Rutgers because they're not playing today, which I appreciate.
we're leaving Rutgers off the card entirely, but the rest of the card is Tim does like Miami of Ohio getting 2 touchdowns, Buffalo plus 3.5, then also Troy on the money line against James Madison. All right, Stormy Bonatoni joining us next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Make this football season your best ever by becoming a VSiN Pro subscriber. Get full access to everything we do, including our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving every game, plus betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Sign up for a VSiN annual subscription, and you'll also get a free copy of Michael Lombardi's new book, Football Done Right. Just use promo code Lombardi when you sign up. And if you would like an autographed copy of Michael's book, just email us at subscribe@VSiN.com. This is a limited time offer, so sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. I like the revised read there to go ahead and email for the signed copy from our one and only Michael Lombardi. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out on the DraftKings Network. Michael on the road, Femi Abebefe hanging out here in downtown Las Vegas. And joining us now, you see her on the Lombardi Line Sunday through Thursday. You can see her patrolling the sidelines in Chapel Hill later this afternoon between Minnesota and North Carolina. It's the one and only Stormy Bonantoni joining us here on the Lombardi Line. Stormy, we appreciate you waking up with us with this one. Obviously, all eyes are on North Carolina quarterback Drake May. Us NFL people, we're curious to see what Drake May looks like. What do you expect to see from the potential top 5 pick coming up in this upcoming draft next year? What do you potentially want to see this afternoon from Drake May?
Well, I'm excited to see how he's going to match up with this Minnesota defense, because this is a defense that over the last few years under defensive coordinator Joe Rossi has consistently been a top 10, top 20 unit. And the strength of their defense this season is their secondary. They're led by a fifth-year senior in Tyler Newbin. I think he's going to be an NFL guy down the line, one of the best at the position in college football himself. And this is an offense for UNC that didn't score a passing touchdown last week against App State. So if Drake May is going to be able to test that unit and be able to use the vision and footwork and different things that I know he's been working on a lot to good use, I think it'll make a big statement if he's able to have success against this Minnesota defense. He does get a little bit of help. He gets Nate McCollum, a Georgia Tech transfer who hasn't been able to play these first couple weeks. He'll get him in the wide receiving room today. A little more pressure off him too in the run game. Last week, Omarion Hampton was tremendous, had over 200 yards for them on the ground. And he's their RB2. They get their bell cow running back, British Brooks, back today. But he, Drake May, and talking to him yesterday, guys, he doesn't really care about the Heisman stuff at all. He comes from a family. Everybody knows Luke May very well in the college basketball national championships. His brother at Florida in baseball won a national championship. So he still thinks of himself as kind of the runt of the family with a lot to prove. So he doesn't care if other people are getting hype and not him. He just wants to do his job and win some football games.
Yeah, it sounds like Stormy, he's kind of different than a lot of guys that you know, he only visited North Carolina coming out. That was where he was going to go to school. He didn't really care. I don't think he cares about his numbers. If you said to him, you know, you're 82nd in yards per play, I think winning matters more to anything. But you're right. I mean, Minnesota's only given up 16 points in two games. I know it's Nebraska and Eastern Michigan, two teams that are not high-profile offenses. But what do you think? Is this going to be more of a run? Because North Carolina wants to run the football. And this is a defense that, you know, is hard. You can actually run the football. They're 78th in the nation in rush defense. In terms of relative rush defense, they're 65th. So you think this is the game plan?
I do. And honestly, I think both teams today, we're going to see a lot of running the football, which could lead to a lower scoring game in general. I saw that total sitting at 51, and I'll be curious to see if they can get there, because this is Minnesota offensively through two games, two wins. They've only had three total touchdowns. They eat clock running the football. They hold on to it offensively, leaning on that run game. Their opponents so far, they've only allowed an average of just 9 possessions and 49 plays per game. So UNC is going to have to be really, really smart with how they utilize their limited possessions in this game. We obviously know the new clock rules, and you know, whoever can steal a possession is going to ultimately be the one on the winning side of this game. But I think running is going to be a huge part of the game plan to support their quarterback.
Speaking with Stormy Bonantoni, VSiN host. Also, you can check her out later on this afternoon, 3:30 kickoff, 12:30 West Coast time between Minnesota and North Carolina. Last thing on this game, for me at least, is this Tez Walker situation for the North Carolina Tar Heels. It feels like it's become sort of the rallying cry between this team. I mean, I saw Drake May even wearing his jersey during one of his media availabilities here. What are folks down there at Chapel Hill saying about this thing? Like, is there any sort of solution that's going to come of this, or is he unfortunately going to have to miss the entire year?
Unfortunately, it does look like he's going to miss the year. I know that as a department, they are really trying to help him if he wants to pursue legal action against the NCAA on his own, to support him the best they can so that he can do that. Because it really is like an awful and an unfortunate situation for a kid who is getting flacked for something that happened. His transfer to North Carolina happened 2 days before they ultimately changed the rule for transfers. And we all know his story by now. It's very well documented that season at NC Central, because of COVID, was completely canceled. He didn't get an opportunity to play a single game in it. And I think everything that Mack Brown and UNC is fighting for is right for Tez Walker. And they're going to continue to try to represent him and have him on the sideline. He was an honorary captain last week. Today, everybody, as they're doing the walk from the bell tower down, they're going to be wearing special t-shirts with the number 9 on them for him, to keep this story prevalent and keep pressure on the NCAA. But it seems like the resolution that the NCAA came up with is going to be where things sit, and Tez isn't going to play.
Well, let's shift to the NFL, Stormy. We spent a lot of time this week talking about your Survivor pick, and no one's rooting harder for you in Survivor than I am. So give us your thought process. I know you still have two tickets available to you. What did you decide to do on that long flight from Las Vegas to Raleigh? What did you decide to come up with?
Okay, and I've submitted them, so the picks are in. Ooh. And there's no backing out now. And uh-oh. I know. we went we went ahead and split the tickets, and I'm taking two teams in bounce back spots. I did the obvious play, like we discussed with Mike Palm on the program the other day, and said, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to back Josh Allen to not have a four turnover game, that the Buffalo Bills are going to be better taking on a Raiders team that on paper they should be much better than. And, you know, obviously now the Raiders, who had their top scoring threat last week, Jacoby Myers, concussion protocol, just all these things seem to work in the favor of Buffalo, who's a big favorite in that spot. Now, ticket number two, here things get a little bit dicey. And I did it. And I put one of them in on the Giants, Michael. I loved everything that you had to say about the like philosophy, coaching matchup, how things are going to stack up. There is something to be said about grown men getting embarrassed thoroughly and shut out in a rivalry game on national television in primetime that I think they're going to take it out on this Arizona Cardinals team. I didn't want to back a road team. I didn't want to back a team that probably looked 32 of 32 teams bad last week. But there's two like forms of thought here with Survivor, right? There's survive in advance. And that's kind of my thought process with the Bills, is just take the obvious survive in advance play. And then there's your playing to win. And the Giants are you're playing to win the game. You're playing to win the millions at the end of this thing. And the Giants, I think, given what they have down the line and the lack of available games I could use them, I'm taking a shot.
Absolutely
love it. I love it. You know, if not now, when, Stormy? I think you're right. Look. Here's what I think people have to understand about Survivor. Don't panic in the first quarter. I mean, I said to Millie, I said, like, Femi took Atlanta. She's like, how did he do that? And there was a lot of panic we both felt for Femi in the first quarter. But the game's four quarters, so you got to let it play out. Don't panic early. They'll get control of the game, and I'm sure they'll find a way to win that game.
I love the play the win strategy. So, I mean, that's what I mean, we're rolling the dice this week. I'm contemplating some short favorites that are going to be a little uncomfortable, but I was talking to, I believe, Pritch and Mike Palm yesterday. And I said, if you're not uncomfortable with your survivor selection, you're playing it wrong. You got to be a little bit uncomfortable. Otherwise you're just kind of going with the masses. And at that point, eventually that big favorite's going to lose and you'll lose with everybody. So I love it. Playing to win. There we go with the New York Giants, big blue. How about that, Michael? Real quick, Stormy, I know you have a college football teaser that you wanted to give out there.
I love her teaser
in college football. New QB for Alabama, Jalen Milroe, has been benched. Tyler Buckner now at quarterback there. Who are you teasing the Tide with?
Okay, but let me also say, I do also have a regular Florida +7 today against Tennessee and a regular Wyoming +30 against Texas. But yes, I teased Alabama down. I took two of the big favorites and just said, I would feel a little bit more comfortable. I think you're going to get a blowout win. I would just feel more comfortable if I had an extra 6 points on my side. So I took Alabama down to 26 against USF in a bounce back spot against Texas. They're ticked off. They've got a new quarterback. I think they're going to take it out on USF. And Coach Prime, don't do that to my guy. There's no need for you to do that, Jay Norvell. So I brought Colorado down from 23 to 17. Ralphie's going to be in sunglasses and a hat on, according to Deion Sanders Jr. So it'll be a good motivation spot for Colorado in the rivalry game.
What a spectacle. What a spectacle that is. Stormy,
religious to tease college football, but I just, come on, just let me live, all right?
Hey, we're expecting you in sunglasses and a hat coming up when you come back here to Vegas. So make sure you get that in order, all right?
I can't wait to run that. Enjoy Chapel Hill, Stormy. There's no better place. Enjoy that. Enjoy that's a tight sideline, but enjoy it. It really is.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you having me. I'll see you next week.
Awesome stuff there from Stormy. She will be once again on the sidelines over on ESPN working the game. Minnesota, North Carolina kickoff 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific. And of course, you can see her here on the Lombardi Line Sunday through Thursday here on the DraftKings Network. All right. We'll talk some NFL when we come back here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football is back in full swing with another week of epic games. And who's got you covered on the action for every single one of them? Well, it's the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet $5 on football and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Get in on the NFL Week 2 action with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code VEGAS to sign up. New customers can bet just $5 and take home $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code VEGAS. The crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line hanging out on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi. Thank you to Stormy Bonantoni who joined us in the last segment. Stormy will be doing the Minnesota-North Carolina game over in Chapel Hill coming up later on at 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific. So that'll be a fun one, a really competitive spread at least. The Tar Heels 7-point favorites total with 51.
That'll be a good game. I wonder how that line got to 7, though. I mean, you know, the Tar Heels struggled last week with App State. You know, they, as Stormy indicated, they ran the football effectively, and Minnesota's defense has been good. I know that they haven't played top-level offenses, but, you know, it's interesting. It's such a big line. I could see a lot of – I was surprised the line didn't move a little bit towards Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of public sentiment for Drake May. I mean, he's awesome. So people want to go ahead and bet on awesome quarterbacks.
I mean, I love him.
Yeah. So Drake May, we will see on Sundays rather soon. Speaking of Sundays, let's talk some NFL here. The big news from the National Football League this week, of course, being Aaron Rodgers tearing his Achilles Monday night in the win against the Buffalo Bills. Only 4 plays, which is an absolute bummer. Rodgers now out for the season, we believe, because earlier this week, Rodgers stopped by on your boy Pat McAfee's show and had this to say about his potential rehab that he has coming up going forward.
Give me the doubts.
Yes.
Give me the doubts. Give me the timetables. Give me all the things that you think can, should, or will happen. Because all I need is that one little extra percent of inspiration. That's all I need. So give me your timetables. Give me your doubts. Give me your prognostications. And then watch what I do.
How about that? That's a guy who lives with a chip on his shoulder ever since draft day. He's had a chip on his shoulder, but he's motivated to go ahead and get back as soon as possible.
Look, we all need a purpose in life, right? I mean, we all need that. Why do we wake up in the morning? You know, and it's, if you watch that documentary on Netflix about how people live to over 100 in different parts of the world, a lot of it centers on purpose. When they get up in the morning, it's not necessarily, you know, retirement, it's gardening. What's the purpose you have? And it, when you put a purpose in front of a talented competitor, they strive to fulfill the purpose. And I think that's what Rodgers just declared. He said, okay, doubters, here I come. And I think he's going to give it every effort. He's, you know, modern medicine is on his side. It's going to be a long rehab. We know that. And it's going to be challenging to see what level of play can he get back to. I'm not doubting he can't get back to playing. But we won't know until we watch him where that level leads us. And for right now, all he can do is get himself in that position. And I applaud him. Look, they've got $38 million ahead of them. They are one of 3 teams that have spent the most cash over cap of any team in the National Football League this year. The Jets, the Browns, and shockingly, the Houston Texans. So to me, that is the great thing that he's doing for the organization, that he wasn't one and done.
Yeah. And the usual timetable, not to put a timetable on Aaron Rodgers, don't send this to him, but the usual timetable is around, I think, 10 to 12 months for the Achilles rehab. But like he said, hey, he said, give me all the doubts. As someone once said, Michael, you can't start a fire without a spark. So Aaron Rodgers is definitely
I think I know who said that.
You know who said that
He also said, he also said, sometimes I can't tell my courage from my desperation. So I think he's more courageous than desperate here.
No, 100%. 100%. For those who don't know, everybody knows who that is. But for those who don't know, look it up on the Google. The machine will tell you who that is. But yeah, I think that's Rodgers.
I could have been a hell of a student with Google in college. Like, I feel like I should go back to Hofstra and take all those courses again. Like, how did I not get A's? I mean, Paul Brady, my college roommate, he lives in Boston, watches the show on Nesson every week. He shakes his head thinking about what a bad student I was. And actually, you know, so, but I didn't have Google. See, if I'd have had Google, I'd have been good.
Yeah, you had to actually look up in, like, encyclopedias and stuff, huh? You
didn't, I go to the library.
I
was telling a story last night. We drafted a player in 85 at the 49ers that eventually was better because of, we didn't know anything about steroids in the 80s. That was one of the, to me, when you look at a lot of the draft mistakes in football, a lot of it go back to players using steroids that we didn't have anything to do with. I had to go to the library. I was telling somebody last night, I had to go to the library last night, write a book report on steroids. I mean, literally, I'm sitting in the Stanford library looking up steroids and, like, playing doctor. So I would have been a better student. But anyway, nobody wants to talk about that. Let's talk about the Philadelphia Eagles and their game Thursday night.
Let's do it, because this is our writing spotlight. Michael, you wrote about this on VSiN.com as a part of your week two look ahead, but you also look back on what happened in the previous games. And for the Eagles, they won. They're 2-0, so they shouldn't have to apologize for that. But when you actually watch the games, they don't look like what we saw last year. Why is that?
Well, I think there's a couple things that go into it. First of all, let's start off with the Eagles were the most watched show of all any NFL coaches this offseason because they were so dominant. 207 points in the second quarter. They were they really didn't play any close games for the most part. They didn't really, as you and I talked about on the podcast, we talked about it on shows. They had a Gonzaga-like schedule, and they were able to dominate that schedule. But now when you have 6 months to kind of study, how do we play it? What are we doing? We're seeing that effect come into play. And that's, you know, Philadelphia anticipated it, but they weren't sure how they did it. The other night on Thursday night, Brian Flores was determined to say, okay, we're going to get you in third down. We're going to be able to blitz you. We're not scared to blitz you anymore. I mean, the sack percentage of Jalen Hurts was 8% last year. It's up to 12% this year after two games. So this notion that the offensive line is you can't penetrate is wrong, because people are attacking the pocket. They're getting him on the ground. And so they come up with a scheme. Now, give the Eagles credit the other night. They adjusted to it. They said, OK, if you want us to run, if you're going to be a gap short in the front, we will run the football and we won't get bored running it. We'll just keep running it. And that's what they did. So I think the coaches are catching up. The offense, the key to when you're playing Philly is you got to take A.J. Brown out of the game, and you've got to try to get it into a third down game where you can perhaps get off the field. Last year, they were almost 46% on third down. This year, they're down to 37. And last year, they scored 207 points, as I mentioned, in the second quarter. This year, they've scored 10. So now I know it's only two games, but they're not playing. They played from in front against New England. New England caught up 16-14 at the half. They played from in front against Minnesota, luckily because of the Justin Jefferson, and we'll get to that later, you know, the ball going out of bounds. But, you know, they haven't been as – so now the defense is on its heels. And this pass rush, which had 60 sacks out of 70 last year from their defensive line, isn't the same. It's not the same, right? Mm-hmm. So Hassan Riddick doesn't have a sack. Sweat has 1.5 sacks. They haven't been able to pressure the quarterback. And – what now exposes is what people believe to be true that was never true, was their secondary is elite. Their secondary was elite because of the coverage. You saw, you know, before the show, all they talked about was Slay taking Jefferson out of the game, and this was going to be a match. No. Slay was benefited by great pass rush last year. When he had time to throw the ball like the other night, they were able to attack Slay. And that doesn't make Slay a bad player. That's just basic football. More time you have to throw, guys get open. And I think this secondary, they are going to lose Maddox. They didn't have Bradbury. They don't have a slot corner now. Their linebackers are very, very below standard, right? They brought in Rashard Evans, who played last year for the Atlanta Falcons, and they've already cut him off their practice squad. So he obviously wasn't in very good shape, where they didn't feel like he could help them. So their back seven is really not where it needs to be yet. And their front seven isn't where it needs to be yet. Brendan Graham doesn't have a sack, right? Fletcher Cox, I think, has a half. They need to do that. The good part is now you've got two games. This is who we are, and this is what we do. But I think what we as fans and handicappers must do is look at this Eagle team objectively. And when they play good quarterbacks, we got to be prepared for the fact that they're going to give up yards. And if they play good offensive lines, they're going to struggle to stop people in their secondary.
Are you confident that in the second half of the season that this can be better for the Eagles, or is this something that you think is going to hurt them all throughout the year?
I think, look, it's players, coaches, or scheme, right? There's only so much scheme you can do, and there's almost so much coaching you can do. I'm not sure the talent level defensively is the same as it was. They lost two starting linebackers, right? You know, and their front, they lose Hargrave inside. Now, Carter can come back and maybe he can take over. But and then offensively, I'm not, you know, Hurts isn't as explosive running. I mean, he's doing a good job of not getting himself in position. But I think people have a better handle on how to stop the run and how to handle them. New England held them to their lowest output in 27 games in week one.
Yeah, and Thursday night, Minnesota outgained them from a yards per place perspective. Vikings had 6.8, Eagles had 5.7. Vikings also had 4 turnovers, that being the difference in the game and why the Eagles.
That's where they win in games. That's where they're winning. New England, too. Fumbles.
100%.
You let the ball out, it's on you.
All right, we begin hour number 2 with the Hall & Oates play here on the Lombardi Line.